Welcome to Voices of the Community, which explores critical issues facing Northern California communities. We introduce you to the voices of community thought leaders and change makers who are working on solutions that face our fellow individual community members, neighborhoods, cities, and our region. This is George Koster, your host. This episode is part of our series exploring COVID-19's impact on nonprofits and small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area. Back in April of 2020, when we decided to create this ongoing series on COVID-19's impact, first on nonprofits and then on small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area, we, like you, had no idea how long the pandemic would go on and what the health and economic impact would be in our community. With vaccinations increasing, COVID-19 cases and deaths decreasing, we're now moving into the summer of 2021 with the reopening of the economy and all of the uncertainty of our ever-changing indoor and outdoor vaccinated and unvaccinated protocols and the politics that will drive how we all come back together as a unified or fractured community. We will continue to shine a spotlight on the nonprofits and small businesses that make up the fabric of our community, along with the founders and staff who are struggling to deal with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on their operations, services, and sustainability until we can all get to the other side of the pandemic. Along the way, we will also share with you all the amazing solutions that our nonprofits, small businesses, foundations, and government leaders are working on to help us all get to the other side of the pandemic and come together to rebuild our communities with more economic, social, and environmental equality.
It's been time that the shipyard is not this isolated enclave, but it is integrated with the Bay Area community, but be a place for artists in particular and for San Francisco artists in general who have been leaving in droves to go to the East Bay because they can't afford to live in the city, much less live in the city and rent studio space. So defending these spaces has been so important. And we feel that with the delay in the development of the shipyard, there is more opportunity to expand the artist's footprint and not just preserve what we have, but create more studio space for artists and make this the place where the creative people of San Francisco can thrive and afford to be.
In this episode, our focus and theme is on our artist and how making art and community engagement is supporting the development of studio spaces in a more diverse community of artists. Our featured voice is the CEO and president of the Shipyard Trust for the Arts, Barbara Ockel. Barbara shares with us their ongoing work to support our artists in the Bayview Hunters Point community and their work to deal with the environmental issues at the Hunters Point Shipyard Redevelopment Project. I'm joined remotely by the president and CEO of the Shipyard Trust for the Arts, Barbara Ockel. Welcome to Voices of the Community, Barbara.
Well, thank you, George, and thanks for having me.
Barbara, I would really appreciate you providing our audience an overview of the Shipyard for the Arts and your community programs.
Shipyard Trust for the Arts, also known as STAR, has been in existence since 1990, and it was already a successor organization to another organization, which was called the Businesses of Hunters Point Shipyard. And it was founded for the purpose of defending the shipyard studios against various attacks that have been coming at us over the years, so that the artists there could retain their low-rent affordable studios, which is really a rare commodity right now in our city. Now, since nobody is attacking the artist's existence anymore, we have expanded our scope quite significantly to help the artists promote their work, organize shows that they can participate in, bring opportunities to them, but also, very much importantly, communicate and be more inclusive of the surrounding Bayview Hunters Point community that we are in. For a long time, the shipyard community was a very white community. And over the years, fortunately, that has changed, not quite yet to the degree that we needed to be changed to reflect the demographics in San Francisco as they exist today. But we are making a lot of efforts to make that happen. We collaborate with schools in the Bayview Hunters Point community to provide arts programs. One such program, for instance, is our intergenerational art program that we are supporting with the Dr. George Davis Senior Center with an artist named William Rhodes. He is actually organizing that to have middle school students and other young people collaborate with the seniors in art classes, and we have shipyard artists teaching those classes for them currently over Zoom. We used to have live classes, but that hasn't been possible recently. We also participate in community events. The last one that we had was an activation at 900 Innes Avenue, where they're building a new park right outside the shipyard. And more recently, we have been able to sponsor some artists for an MTA project, which was a quick build program right outside the shipyard, where they have narrowed the lanes with some barricades that look very ugly. And so we helped the MTA identify artists from the community and from the shipyard to paint those barriers with really beautiful murals. So one thing we're really trying to do is connect with the community, and we have an artist in residence program that we've had for 18 years now, where we have a free studio available to a community artist. The vast majority of the time, those have been Black artists, not exclusively, but definitely Bayview artists. And they get that studio for a year and a half. They also get some financial support from us to participate in open studios events and other things to help sell their work. And about half the artists in residence that we've had now have their own permanent studios at the shipyard. And we're very proud of that. And that has made a big difference in changing the internal demographics of the artists that have studios at the shipyard. So furthermore, when people come to the shipyard for open studios events, it is very important to us that they see diverse artists, diverse in age, diverse in demographics, diverse in ethnicity and where they come from, so that people from the community feel like this is also a place for them, not just it's an alien body of people that have nothing to do with them, but people who are from their community and want to connect with them and see that people from their community have studios making art that they may want to buy for their homes, etc. And also just alert people to the fact that there's a lot of opportunity at the shipyard in terms of construction going on and businesses being built in the future that we don't want them to be felt shut out from.
Barbara, so you've got the COVID-19 pandemic, obviously, and its impact. And then I think the other big piece that we want to talk about today is really the fact that the shipyard development has been halted, as you mentioned, back in 2018. And so what is the Shipyard Trust for the Arts doing in dealing with the city of San Francisco and the developer Five Point?
Yeah, that's a very important question for us. As some of your listeners may not know, and if you haven't been out there for open studios in the last 3 years or so, you wouldn't know. There is a huge construction site located in front of our largest artist buildings. The artists have studios in 5 different buildings, and one of them houses about half the artists. And the other smaller buildings in the original redevelopment plans were slated for demolition. And in a really unprecedented agreement, I think in 2013, it was agreed that the developer would build a replacement building for all artists in those smaller buildings who would lose their studios due to the redevelopment. And so plans were drawn up. And anyway, it was written into the community benefit agreement for the developer Five Point. And in early 2018, they actually started construction of that building. Maybe not construction of the building, but excavating for it and putting in some infrastructure so that the actual building could be built. But then in 2018, in the summer, actually, it was made public that there was a whistleblower from the company Tetra Tech, who had been hired by the Navy to conduct cleanup of the toxic materials left over in the shipyard. And so that revelation was so disturbing that the city of San Francisco said, okay, nothing goes on now. We're going to just have a moratorium on any construction in the shipyard until we know the full extent of this and know what kind of risks people might be exposed to and before construction can start again. So now the construction site, which encompasses way more land then was going to be used by the actual building. The rest was going to be returned to a parking lot, which is what it was before the construction started, which is partially on the so-called Parcel A, which is the same parcel that the condos on the hilltop above the artist studios are located on. And that is supposed to be clean. Now, it is also a very small part of it is on so-called Parcel UC2, which stands for utility corridor. And in that utility corridor, there are some pipes through which some questionable materials were transported back in the day. And some of the falsification samples came from that corridor as well. so that one does not really, you know, whether there's any contamination left there or not. So we understand that the building can't continue to be built because it is partially on that questionable parcel, and the Navy is conducting more testing on the shipyard to make sure it is safe. The rest of that area, the parking lot, well, the former parking lot, I would say, is entirely on this area called Parcel A, which is supposedly clean. Now, that has also been called into question at times whether it really is or not, but the official word is it is, and we're looking into that further to determine what the actual case may be. But there are two gigantic dirt piles, and there is a huge site of like open dirt that blows around, and some lakes, like they're covered with green slime. They become lakes in the winter. Now they're not lakes, but it's a very inhospitable site, and people have to walk through a long walkway through the construction site to get to the artist building. That's true for artists as well as visitors, as there's only a very small parking lot at the end of the building where people can park. And what's even worse is that there's a handicap ramp in the middle of the building that people in wheelchairs or with mobility issues can use to get into the building, but there's no way to park near that handicap ramp. So now they have to park at the far end of the building and walk the equivalent of like half a block to get to the handicap ramp, which obviously, if you have an impairment, that is not necessarily possible. So it interferes with handicap access, and the dirt is being left to blow around. It blows into artist studios. People breathe the dust when they're walking on that walkway. And periodically, the developer has sprayed some substance on it that stabilizes the dirt so it doesn't blow around, but then it rains again and then it dries and it starts blowing around again. And we have never been assured beyond a doubt that dirt does not contain any toxic substances that we should be cautious about. But just the dirt, even if it's clean dirt blowing around into artist studios who want to open their windows, is really not acceptable because it gets onto their artwork, it gets into the paints and everything, and people have to breathe it. It's just all over. That's not healthy. So now we have said to the developer, please, it's been 3 years. The Navy isn't even going to test that one questionable area for another 3 years, scheduled for 2024. So you're proposing that we're going to be behind this open construction site for another 3 years. So what we're asking you to do is please get rid of the dirt piles and pave over this future parking lot, either with the permanent parking lot that you have to build anyway, or with some kind of temporary asphalt cover that doesn't matter to us as long as we can use it as a parking lot and we don't have this very unsightly dirt area anymore in front of our building. The artists at the shipyard already are very much isolated from the general public, which some artists honestly like because they have their peace and quiet and they can just produce their art. But artists are professionals and, like anybody, have to make a living. So receiving visitors at the site is very, very challenging because people can't even find their way to the building. And then when they do come, they see this and go like, oh, are those the radiation piles? And they find the situation very disconcerting. And I think many are repelled by it so that they don't even want to come out there. Just the general PR about the contamination at the shipyard has done its thing so that fewer people come to our open studios events every 6 months. And this dirt area really, really is not helping at all. So we have another open studio event coming up on October 23rd and 24th this year. And we have implored the developer to do something about the situation. And so far, we haven't gotten anywhere except that some of the city agencies and politicians have been listening and have also shown some degree of support for us and are trying to help us resolve the situation. We're not really exactly sure how it will be resolved, but it really is unacceptable to us to leave it as this dirt area for an indefinite period of time. It's not like, okay, in 6 months, we're going to resume construction. There's nothing like that. And even once the testing is complete in 2024, there's no telling whether the tests will come out so that construction can resume right away. And even if it did, there's no commitment that construction will resume immediately.
What can folks do to help? I mean, can they write to someone, make phone calls, emails? Is there public meetings that people can show up and speak in support of what the Shipyard Trust for the Arts is asking?
Well, at the moment, there's not a concrete action that I can ask people to undertake, but we have a mailing list and we will certainly inform people on the mailing list about what is happening. We also have on our website is shipyardartists.com. And on our homepage, we have a link to a page where we're chronicling everything that we're trying to do to get the developer to move on this parking lot. And so every day we have press releases, we have letters that we write, letters that they write, and everything, so people can follow it there. And if we were to go to a public meeting in City Hall, which we may do in the future, it would certainly be great if we could have supporters call their representatives, their district supervisors, and so on to support us. But right now, especially with City Hall still being closed and meetings being on Zoom, we're not doing that quite yet. And we're also still trying to just talk to the various stakeholders, the city agency called OCII, the Office of Community Investment and Infrastructure, as well as the representatives from the Navy, who we are hoping will shed some light on what toxic materials may or may not be threatening us at the site.
And then if folks wanted to donate, they could donate to the trust. I imagine you've had to get your lawyers engaged in this, and that's never inexpensive. So can folks donate to a legal fund you have going to do this to help support?
Not yet. We do have an attorney that has been advising us pro bono. We are definitely considering whether any legal action needs to be taken or whether we are in a position to take legal action. And that would definitely be great. But apart from that, we do have our Shipyard Trust website with a donation link, shipyardtrust.org. And there's a very clear donate link. We very much appreciate any kind of donations from the public because we're mostly a volunteer organization and we don't have a lot of income from any sources. We get an occasional grant or a larger donation that keeps us afloat. And so that would be very much appreciated to support these efforts to get rid of the construction site, but also our efforts to promote the artists and help them sell their art during these very challenging times.
Barbara, over the decades of operation in various forms, what do you feel has been the biggest impact that the Shipyard Trust and its predecessor organizations have had on our artists and our creative economy here in San Francisco?
Well, back in the day, the Open Studios event, I think it even kind of started at the Shipyard, that we had literally like 10,000 visitors there on the weekend. And it's been great to see that many people in San Francisco bringing their kids, bringing their whole family, and just walking around and being exposed to all sorts of art. And at the same time, enabling our working artists to make a living by purchasing items from them. So just being able to keep these studios low cost, our organization has sat in countless meetings, community meetings and government meetings and all this stuff to get these artist studios secured, not just for the artists that are there now, but also for future generations of artists. And I think that is really, apart from anything we might be doing right this second, the most important thing. And in combination with the fact that we are reaching out to the Bayview community and we are trying to get grant funding to support especially artists of color so that they're able to get studios as they become available and support them professionally to, you know, get their work photographed and, you know, participate in events that have high registration fees and all these stuff, get them commissions to paint murals in the neighborhood. It's been time that the Shipyard is not this isolated enclave, but it is integrated with the Bayview community, but be a place for artists in particular and for San Francisco artists in general who have been leaving in droves to go to the East Bay because they can't afford to live in the city, much less live in the city and rent studio space. So defending these spaces has been so important. And we feel that with the delay in the development of the Shipyard, there is more opportunity to expand the artist footprint and not just preserve what we have, but create more studio space for artists and make this the place where the creative people of San Francisco can thrive and afford to be.
Thank you. Barbara, would you mind sharing one of your favorite stories with the audience of working at the Shipyard Trust for the Arts?
My favorite story? Give me a second to think about that. One of my very recent favorite stories is we tried to create for the first time, a Black History Month event at the Shipyard. And of course, it was during COVID. And so we actually have 24 Black artists out there at the Shipyard now, which is huge. When I first came out there, I've been out there since 1984. There were zero Black artists, and soon there was one, and then there were two for a long time. So 24 doesn't seem like enough, and it isn't. But it's a lot better than it used to be. So anyway, we tried to do this kind of online reception and Zoom event for the Black artists. And we had about 8 of them signed up for the event, wanted to participate. So I talked to them, well, what do you want this reception to be like? What do you want to do? You want to give tours of your studios, or do you want to just try to sell online, or what do you want to do? And what they told me is, more than anything, we want to create our own community. We want to know each other and who is here, and talk to each other and learn from each other. And so while we had created this event mainly to say, okay, let's help these artists sell some work and show their work to the public, really what they wanted to do more than anything is create community among themselves. And so when we had this event, it was so wonderful. Each of the artists talked about what they're doing, and several did not know each other at all. And so that is one of the things that's been so hard during COVID, especially because we welcomed 2 new African-American artists in residence during COVID. They came in May of 2020, and they haven't been able to meet anybody in person because everybody's been urged to like stick to their studios and not wander around and wear masks and the whole thing. And so there was finally an opportunity for them to connect with everybody else. And that was so wonderful to see. And people wanted each other's phone numbers and emails and work together. They saw room for collaborations. And so I can't wait to see what comes out of that.
So the whole idea of creating community, right? I mean, that's the history of the Shipyard Trust for Arts, but also just the artist colony there. It's the largest artist colony in the United States, as I recall.
It is. And we prefer to call it artist community, as the name colony does not have the best connotation.
Yes, for all the obvious reasons. So final question for you, Barbara. What do you feel are some of the positive things that could come out of the pandemic crisis to support your work with the artist, the trust's work, and with our creative economy here in San Francisco?
Yeah. Last year, when the pandemic first hit, we had an open studios event, I think about like 3 or 4 weeks away. So it became clear to us, well, actually, to be honest, it didn't become immediately clear to everybody, because we voted and the majority voted to postpone the event by 1 month into May, and the rest said we should just cancel it. Well, obviously, it had to be canceled. And you realize from a vote like this how much people thought this is going to be over soon. Little did we know. But then after that happened, people said, okay, we got to have an online presence that's more than just a website. We have a website where each artist has a page, but the pages were very limited. People could only have like a few pictures and were not the best looking. And the artists were saying, we need to sell online. We really need to sell, and online is going to be the only way in the fall. And so we embarked on a project. We were very grateful to the city of San Francisco that we got a $10,000 grant with a COVID emergency grant for artists and arts organizations that then able to use to build our online presence. And so we built a store where each artist that wants to participate can have an online store. And we handle the money transactions for them. So even artists who may not have a sales tax license or anything like that could participate. It was a very low barrier kind of store. And we had this wonderful person who is the husband of one of our artists who is retired, and he functioned as a volunteer to help all the artists set up their online store. So even artists who had no idea how to do that, had no idea how to upload a picture or even get the picture ready, he helped everybody. And it was just really, really wonderful. We had a fairly successful Open Studios event last fall, believe it or not. And it was all on Zoom receptions and Zoom tours to the studios. We taught all the artists how to use Zoom to show their studios. It was new to 95% of the artists. So that has been very, very rewarding. And we do see the enormous potential that that online presence has, even for the future, when we're definitely hoping to be back in person this October. But we will also have the virtual stores, because some artists were able to sell to people. Like one artist told me they sold to somebody in Canada. Somebody made a sale to the East Coast, and that previously was definitely not happening. And so having artists trained in interacting with customers online really expanded the circle of people that they are able to do business with. And so that will definitely remain. And the technical skills that we imparted on some of the artists has been really remarkable. we just had a meeting kind of just to discuss things among ourselves, which was a Zoom meeting. And we needed something shared on screen. And one of the artists had that document that needed to be shared. And she was one of the artists that was like really, really slow catching on to the Zoom. We had countless sessions with her to teach her how to do it. And then finally she said, oh, I have it. I can share it. And so this artist who started from nothing, no technological knowledge, shared this document during the Zoom meeting, which was really, really wonderful. So I think the skill development and the practical value that online stores nowadays have is something we're taking out of the pandemic.
That's great stories. I mean, so much of what I've heard over this last 15 months of doing these interviews is that everyone has really, I think, embraced the virtual space. It's really opened up opportunities for artists, performing artists or physical artists to expose their amazing work to a global audience. So thank you, Barbara, for sharing the wonderful insights from your work at Shipyard Trust for the Arts and your work with our arts and culture sector. We'll make sure that listeners have your contact information, website, and social media, along with the links to all the great community programs and upcoming fall open studios so they can get engaged with Shipyard Trust for the Arts, the artist, and to support everyone's work. Please stay safe and healthy as we all work our way through this very strange new pseudo-normalcy.
Well, thank you so much, George. I really appreciate that you are including us in your interview series.
That's it for this episode of Voices of the Community. You've been listening to the voice of the president and CEO of the Shipyard Trust for the Arts, Barbara Ockel. To find out more about Shipyard Trust for the Arts programs and to help our artists in the Bayview and Hunters Point community, as well as to participate in the upcoming Open Studios event in October, please go to shipyardtrust.org. In addition to guiding the Shipyard Trust for the Arts, Barbara Ockel is also the executive director of the Bayview Opera House. You can find out more about Barbara and her Opera House work in part one of our Doing Business in the Bayview episode in our archive section. To find out more about other nonprofits supporting our artist community members, please listen to our interview with Susan Mernet, along with Janet Hayes at The Crucible in episode 31, and Justin Hoover and Kareem Zelenka at Project Artivism in episode 49. We really want to hear from you in our short listener survey, so please go to georgecoster.com and click on the survey button on the upper right-hand side of the homepage and provide us your feedback and insights. Please tune in to KSFP 102.5 FM to next week's one-hour special show on August 26th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. from our live virtual panel show, which features voices from Word for Word, Simply the Basics, Children's Book Project, Lava May X, and the San Francisco Girls Chorus. We hope that you enjoyed the insights, points of view, and personal stories from the voices of changemakers and their nonprofits and small businesses featured in this series. To find out more and get engaged with the nonprofits, small businesses, and staff members featured in the series, please go to my website, georgecoster.com, and click on Voices of the Community to find links to the extended versions of these interviews and to listen to the entire series. After listening to these stories, we hope that you will consider making a donation and volunteering to provide a hand up to your fellow community members. I want to thank my associate producer, Eric Estrada, and Casey Nance at Citron Studios, along with the wonderful crew at the San Francisco Public Press and KSFP. Voices of the Community is a member of Intersection for the Arts, which allows us to offer you a tax deduction for your contributions. Please go to georgecoster.com and click on the donate link to make a donation to help us provide future shows just like this one. While you're on our website, you can enjoy our archived past shows, which feature community voices working on solutions to critical issues facing Northern California communities, and you can sign up for our newsletter to find out more about future shows, as well as shows and events from the organizations that are included in our episodes. Take us along on your next COVID walk by subscribing to Voices of the Community on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, at George Coster, and we'd love to hear from you with feedback and show ideas, so send us an email to george@georgecoster.com. I'm George Coster in San Francisco, and thank you for listening.